Welcome to the friendliest campus in the South.
Shotgun, Blanchard, one back set, rolls right, pressure coming, throws, Middleton, go!
To the gym of the hills.
He lifts it to left, that one's pretty well hit. Hall on the run, that ball is gone!
Home of the Jacksonville State Gamecocks.
Over the day, over the Hawks, he fires up at the buzzer, and drains the three!
This is your podcast for JSU Sports.
High fly ball, center field, it is back, it's out of here!
With your hosts, Brandon Owens and Cody Hooks, this is Cocky Nation.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Cocky Nation. First off, we want to apologize for the missing hiatus because
the 2-3 month hiatus?
It was 4 months, I think. I don't even remember it. Like,
no, listen, our last episode was in March.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, long story short, y'all, we apologize. We were both super busy. Brandon was finishing up grad school.
I have one more class to take, but I passed my grad comps. Basically, I have my master's degree. I got to take this one class to fulfill the requirements. So that is amazing for me.
Look at him. We're so proud of you. But ultimately we had to take a short hiatus, and that short hiatus turned into a long hiatus. But we are back. We are starting, I guess you could technically say that this is starting. Is this the end of season four?
This is the season finale.
So we are, Brandon and I are working religiously right now to work on getting a better schedule for next year as we get closer to be more consistent and trying to get things in, especially trying some new things, going live, new games. And so it is going to be a work in progress, and so we do apologize, but we hope that all of you that are diehard fans are still kicking with us, because we do this not because we have to, but because we want to. But with that being said, we do want to go ahead and kind of wrap up on what happened in our spring season with all of our spring sports. And then also we are going to be looking at some JSU things for the fall, as well as just some fun nitpicking things that Brandon and I enjoy. So Brandon, why don't you go ahead and kick us off on what happened with our beach volleyball season for our girls?
Well, sadly, I hate to start the show off that way, but our girls finished, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 0-20-3.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was not a good season at all.
But,
and this was our first season in Conference USA too.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, you got to give a little bit of, leniency, because it's not like, we're making the jump and it is what it is.
But, I mean, if you go look at all of our opponents, like, I don't know if they have beach volleyball broken up into, like, Division I, Division II. I don't think they do. I think everybody is in just one division. But when you look at some of our opponents, you have Florida Southern, Huntington, St. Leo, State College of Florida, Eckerd was an exhibition, St. John's River State College, and then you're getting into the D1 opponents that we're used to. But like that start of the season, you're playing some like definite D2 teams, some D3 teams in some sports, and then you hit all of the Division I schools, and like you can look at the scores and it's just 5-0 losses, like across the board.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's always room for improvement, and that's what we gotta remind ourselves is, hey, it may have not been great this season, but hey, there's always next season. And it is one of those sports that you know, yes, there is a sense of competitiveness that comes within beach volleyball. There's a sense of competitiveness that comes with any sport. But, like, I've always said I enjoy, like, those types of sports. I always enjoy, like, the sports that people don't tend to give time towards. So it's okay. Don't fret. There's always next season. That's my mentality. But also in our spring season, to kind of transition us a little bit, softball ended. Overall, we ended with a 31-22 with our schedule. You know, we were in the positive with our percentage rate. We went 15-9 in the conference. Unfortunately, things did not end the way that we hoped that they would. And unfortunately, we are not eligible for the College World Series. That list already came out, as you probably already, which we'll talk a little bit about that because Brandon and I want to talk about the College World Series, both for the guys and for the girls. And so we'll get into that later. But overall, you know, it was a better season for us when it comes to softball. Coach McGinnis hit 1,000 wins after the season was over. We also had a time, if you weren't paying attention to JSU News, we did also name the field after Coach McGinnis for her contribution to the team and just to the university and to our program. And so we want to give her some recognition for that as well. But Brandon, what were your thoughts on the season as a whole?
In my opinion, it was a really good season. I mean, you had your top three seeds in the ASUN tournament, Central Arkansas, Liberty, and JSU. Like, all of us were all super competitive with each other. And I would even say, who was it? Florida Gulf Coast. Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast was super, super competitive too. So, like, your top four teams in the conference were super competitive with each other. Right. And you could even, like, make an argument for the teams below the four top seeds. But let's talk about UNA a little bit. UNA making some big upsets in the ASUN tournament this year, beating Central Arkansas. I don't think they had to play. Yes, they did have to play Liberty in the winner's bracket final. So they beat the top two seeds to advance to the championship and then came up short against Central Arkansas in the championship. But UNA was super, super close to giving the ASUN three bids.
Right.
Super, super close. So I'm very proud of UNA. I'm actually kind of proud of JSU's performance too, even though it didn't go the way we wanted it to. The one game I would say I'm a little disappointed in is Florida Gulf Coast. Because we should have won that game. We easily should have won that game.
I mean, to lose 4-6, I mean, we kept it close, but, like, just mistakes were made at the end and just kind of we fell short, you know. But
and I mean, shoot, we should have beat Liberty for a chance to play UNA.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, close losses. Two close losses in the conference tournament. We were the favorite outside of Liberty and Central Arkansas. We were the favorite to get the ASUN three bids. And I was really hoping for that because we would have probably been placed in the same region as Central Arkansas, which was Tuscaloosa. So
it's going to be great.
I would have went to I would have taken that entire weekend off and went to that.
Yeah, I'm a little upset, but hey, kudos to Central Arkansas. I mean, ending your season 22-2 as far as the conference goes. I mean, that's you couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, you know, I mean they're making waves as far as the ASUN is concerned now. They're not making the jump yet to
keyword to, yet.
They're not making the jump yet until they get to what do you call it? They probably will in the next few years, but that's a whole different story.
Just to be safe, I'll give them 10 years.
Yeah, you know, within the next 5 or 10 years. But I mean, for them to be taking the step up, though, as far as mm-hmm. like, because with Jacksonville State and Sam Houston taking the leave out of the ASUN to go to Conference USA, somebody else, some other power team is going to have to like take the step up to be the contender in the ASUN. And Central Arkansas,
you mean Liberty and not Sam Houston?
No, Sam Houston's making the jump to Conference
USA. They're in the WAC.
Yeah, but I'm
JSU and Liberty are the two teams
from right, the but what I'm talking about to. Yes, but what I'm talking about is just making the jump from FCS to FBS.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yes, but included on that list, if we're specifically saying ASUN, then yes, Liberty is on that list as well. But regardless, you know, somebody's going to have to take the step up. And, you know, mm-hmm. hey, having a 22-2 season already is putting you on the right track. So, I'm excited. You know, I don't think we're losing that many girls this next season. I don't think we have that many seniors.
I haven't dove too much into it.
But, you know.
I mean, the season is technically still going on. So,
yeah. And so technically, you know, next year is a whole different ball game, a whole different beast, because now we're not playing in an ASUN conference. We're going to be playing in a Conference USA, which based on.
Is this? Yeah. Is she tough?
Tough whole Conference USA is going to be tough, but we have to make that. We got to start making that transition now, which I think we are with all of our sports. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Now, last thing that we wanted to mention, which again, we've been so behind on recording. This is old events that happened, but we still want to offer, Brandon and I still want to offer our condolences to Coach McGinnis and her family after losing their oldest daughter. So we just wanted to send our, it's not, or not oldest daughter, but one of their children. And so we just want to send our condolences to the family. But overall, I'm excited to see what's going to happen for JSU in the future when it comes to softball, especially now that we're moving to Conference USA. Now on the other side of the bat, we have our baseball season, which ultimately, it wasn't great. We had some good ones. We had some good wins, you know, like, I mean, we would all be lying if we didn't say, hey, do you remember that Ole Miss game on March 14th?
When Ole Miss was still good.
When Ole Miss was still good. But unfortunately, the team fell short this season. Our percentage rate is under 500, which sucks. We went 18-12 in the conference, which is great. But overall, we went 27-30. And so, you know,
ASUN baseball's not easy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even though we've had, was it last year or the year before? No, it was last year. Last year was our first year in the ASUN.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say we had a winning record last year. But, I mean, still, regardless, like, overall record, like, we had a losing record, yeah, but, like, look at our out-of-conference. It was a tough out-of-conference.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean,
at least we had a winning record in
conference play. Yeah, and again, like, it happens, you know, I'm not, like, devastated, but we're definitely going to have to make some corrected adjustments in order to be prepared for next season. When it comes to conference play. Now, as far as the baseball championship went for the ASUN, I mean, we were not doing terrible. I mean, we beat Stetson 6-1, and you know, hey, we were on a run, and then we beat Eastern Kentucky 9-3, but then we fell short when it came to Austin Peay, like fell really short, 4-16. And then Florida Gulf Coast came up and, well, we kept it. We battled it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it came down to like the last,
couple of innings.
Yeah. Cause the score ended at, yeah, it came down to the last, cause JSU was up until you got to the seventh inning, to the bottom of the seventh, and then Florida Gulf Coast, hit three or ran in three, and then they got two more in the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth, and then by that point it was done. So, you know, hey, it sucks, but again, I guess the biggest mentality I can just have with this is, you know, let's learn from our mistakes. Let's, you know, let's take what we've learned and adapt this to the future. Cause I mean, that's ultimately all that we can do at this point. Cause you know, I've been saying that for a while now, that we can't focus on the bad things, because if we focus on the bad things, then, we're not going to progress. But on top of that, we have to let go of some of that material, because we are making the jump to a higher conference. So we do need to focus a little bit, but not to the degree of like it's the only thing that we focus on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Quickly, I mean, at least we went 2-1 in Pool B. Because how the A-Sun does their seeding, like, we finished third overall in the conference.
Yeah.
But we drew the 7 seed because they went by RPIs. RPI rate, ranking, rating, whatever. Anyways, we drew the 7 seed. So A-Sun does it so weird. So we were in Pool B, the lower seeds, and we went 2-1. And then we made the semifinals, and that's when we lost to Florida Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. So, but Conference USA baseball, you think softball's bad? Ooh, Conference USA baseball is a whole nother beast.
Oh yeah, and again, like, just gotta learn from our mistakes and just kind of go from there. That's ultimately all we can do, because we have to start adapting to that Conference USA schedule. And you know, I'm excited. I've been excited. You know, Brandon's been excited to make this jump. But hopefully our schedule will look a lot better regarding all that material, you know, regarding like getting into the new season. Cause you know, obviously, and this leads us to our next talking point, you know, our biggest focus is what's football going to look like, because, you know, we're making not just a jump, we're making like a huge jump. You know, we're not like UAB that's going from one FBS conference to another FBS conference. We're like, I'm hoping that we're going to pull a James Madison. You know, that would be really good. Now, as you already know, as we make this jump to the FBS, we will not be eligible for a bowl game afterwards. But hey, it'll be okay. Now, as far as football is concerned, though, we have a lot of updates. We have a lot of good things to talk about. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I want to kind of focus on is the spring game, where I can't remember what the exact score was for that red versus white, but
I don't think we keep score.
we're probably not one of them teams, but what was your thought process on the spring game, though? Because spring games open our eyes to a lot of things that we need to adjust as far as offensively and defensively. So that's what we really need to focus on. But what were your thoughts, Brandon?
So I went to the spring game, and the one thing that jumped out at me was our defense actually needed a little bit work. Was it still good? Yes. But like, now that we're FBS, I'm an FBS mindset, and our defense needs a lot of work to compete with these FBS teams in Conference USA. Now, granted, yes, it's Conference USA. Conference USA football is not necessarily the best thing ever. But our defense does need some work. Our offense was actually pretty okay. I started to see Rich Rod kind of settling into what he's known for, which is a run first offense. And Tayshawn Smoot, I mean, we talked about him last season. And Tayshawn Smoot was on fire. He did give a lot of the other quarterbacks some playing time. But especially that freshman from Hueytown, that signed with us. But Tayshaun was the most impressive, and he has an argument to be the starting quarterback. Now I will say, as a team overall, I think we will be okay. But once we work out those kinks, I think it will be milestones better.
Oh yeah. And I think most people would agree with you on that. Which, by the way, if you want a really good recap on our football podcast, like on football updates and information, if you're not paying attention on social media wise, Rich Rod does a sports podcast himself, where I believe they center at the Oxford location
Oh, you're talking about the JSU podcast that he's a part of.
Yeah,
the one that's at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, so
now he has a personal podcast that he does with his daughter that is actually really good too.
Yes, but if you're ever wanting like more information, because listen, Brandon and I are not like the football gurus. I mean, we know enough to get us by, but we do this because we love it. But if you want more information, like more breakdown, more statistics, I would definitely highly recommend go listen to his podcast, because I do catch it every once in a while to just kind of get an idea of the man behind the mask. Because, you know, this is because ever since Rich Rod came to JSU, like, a lot of people have used the phrase like, this is the man to lead us to the future. You know, is he going to be there long term? Is, you know, whatever, we don't know, but we do know one thing: he's leading us into the FBS programs, and we have to put our trust in him. And so I think that I will agree with Brandon on the, like, coming from a background of a running game. I was talking to a buddy of mine who really, really likes Rich Rod back when he was down in Louisiana. And so I am seeing that a lot. Now, the question is, though, and Brandon Cesari highlighted a little bit about this, the question is, who is QB1? Because if you haven't been paying attention, if you've been sleeping under a rock, there's been some updates with QB1 because you got the guy from Hueytown, you got Schmoot, you got and then there's a third he's either third or fourth, I can't remember, Logan Smothers from Nebraska of all places, the place known for corn, he made a decision. He's coming back to Alabama to play for JSU now. The question is, though, do you play Smothers?
Oh, he's from my neck of the woods. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He's from Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, he's from Northeast Alabama. So the question is, do you prioritize experience in an FBS program over somebody coming in? Now, that's my question. Brandon, would you like, if you were Rich Rod, okay, would you prioritize Smothers over Schmoot or the Hueytown guy?
I would strongly consider Smothers because he has that FBS experience, especially in a Power 5 conference. But where we go away, notification. Thank you. Sorry. But this is a different situation than where we were last year with Aaron McLaughlin. We were still technically FCS last year, and Aaron McLaughlin came from NC State down to play for us in the A-Sun or at the FCS level. So the question we had back then was, do you go with this Power 5 transfer who has proven himself at that level and can play ball, or do you stick with the experience in Zion Webb? And I want to say both of us were leaning with Zion Webb. purely because of the experience. And that's just because we were still in the FCS. This go round, I don't know. Like, you have to give this kid some consideration. So, I mean, let's take a look at his stats real quick.
So here, you're talking about Smothers' stats. So okay, yeah. First off,
so in 2021,
so in last year's season, okay, he completed 10 passes, and that was about it. He only played in four games. He played versus Michigan. He played against Minnesota. He played in the Illinois game, and that's it. Sorry, three games. He played three games. Now, he was the backup. He wasn't like the go-to guy. He is a, like, as far as height goes, he's 6'2", so he's got the height for him, but he's kind of light for a quarterback in this day and age. He's only 190 pounds. You know, usually you're looking at a quarterback that's at least 200 plus. Now, again, I'm not going to say that he can't play. I mean, obviously he committed to a school that wanted him. But there's still too much gray area with him. Like, you know, I think he needs some more time to, I need to see him play. Okay.
Yeah.
We have not seen him play.
If you want to combine all of his stats, combined passing in his 2 years at Nebraska, he is 33 for 52, basically 63% completion rate. Having to do quick math, 413 passing yards. He had 49 carries for rushing and a total of 100. That's not right. 161 rushing yards and two touchdowns. So, I mean, overall, like, for just 2 years at Nebraska, his stats aren't bad. Especially given how much playing time he actually had.
Right. And again, like, I don't necessarily, like, I'm not, like, angry at the guy. And I'm not saying that he can't play, but, like.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is, the question I ask is who.
But we're in a situation where we're having to pick a court, like, pick between, like you said, three quarterbacks, a transfer, somebody who barely got any playing time last year, and then a freshman.
Yeah.
It's who just has never played for JSU. So, I mean, we're in an interesting spot. Like,
well, it really depends
who runs the best, in my opinion.
Right. Because you're going to have because Rich Rod is a running game heavy quarterback, and 6'2", 190 pounds. Now he may put on some weight since then, I don't know, but I just don't know if that's enough as a quarterback to really get behind as a runner. Now, similar situation that you can relate to this type of circumstance. Look at Alabama. You have Jalen Milroe, you have Ty Simpson, and then you have whatever that guy is coming from Notre Dame. You know, and a lot of people, like, I've heard some people say, oh yeah, it's going to be that Notre Dame guy. Like, he's got the experience. Okay. Jalen Milroe's got experience.
Yeah.
He hopped in when Bryce Young got hurt this past season and stepped into the game. I've heard people say, oh, it's going to be Ty Simpson. You know, Ty Simpson's going to be that QB one.
I've heard Ty Simpson the most.
You see, and I think, and as somebody that works down in Tuscaloosa now, I'm friends with coaches that know Saban, or have been to the spring practices, or they've been to the summer workouts. So I'm getting, like, actual firsthand information here. I'm just saying, based on what everybody keeps telling me, I've heard a lot of people say that it's going to be Milroe to start with, and then Ty Simpson's going to come in and, like, kind of take over, because Milroe's got the experience. Like, he's actually got field experience, and then Ty Simpson.
So a two quarterback system?
Not necessarily two quarterback system, but it'd be like Jalen Milroe will play in the first like two, three games, and then they will start to transition Ty Simpson in. That's what I've heard the most. Now, I don't know if that's 100% accurate. It has been a minute since I've talked to people about this. But I think our luck would be at this point, because again, we don't have a lot of information on Smothers. He's still green, in my opinion. He's still fresh. He's still new. Does that mean that he can't play? No. Does that mean that he's going to get QB1? Not necessarily. I think what we need to see is what happens in that very first game. I think we need to play Smoot. And then after him, we need to rely on Smothers because he does technically have that field experience.
Yeah.
That if Schmoot goes down, that Smothers can step in and then build up the Hughtown guy. You know, because what I love to see, I can't remember the Hughtown guy's name. Would I like to see him play? Absolutely. But at the same time, he's not ready. He's still too green. You gotta give that kid some time to just play some fourth quarters, and especially because of all years to do it, this would be the year to do it. Because this, you know, we have something to prove, but not to the point of we gotta risk it all. So we gotta get that time in.
Earl Woods,
yes. We got to get Earl Woods some time to play because who knows? Smothers could just be using – I hate to say it that way, but Smothers could just be using us as another transition tool for him. I mean, we've seen it in programs across the country all the time. They'll come to a school for a year, and then they'll go back up to another higher, you know, big league team because, you know, they got some playing time in that, you know, school's got to take a look at him. So I think right now the answer who's QB1, it's still too early. I think we need to wait and see what happens in that very first game and then kind of take it from there. Mm-hmm. And then just we'll wait and see. I think all of them do need to take some time. I would especially say in that first game against UTEP, we probably should try and give each one of them at least Smoot and Earl some time. If you want to throw in Smothers, depending on how he's looking, sure, we can throw him in into that game. But definitely make sure that we give at least two quarterbacks time in that first game. That's going to be my mentality on that.
Well, I think this is the first time in, I think, JSU's history ever that we've had 2-3 stars in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Tayshaun and Earl, and then a 4-star quarterback in the mix.
Yeah.
So I think either way, based on that alone, now I know you can't judge solely on what star player,
mm-hmm.
like 2-star, 3-star, 4-star. You can't base a player judge a player based solely on that. But it's a pretty good indicator as far as like what to expect to give you an idea
mm-hmm.
when you first see them.
Well, and again, like the mentality for me, and this has been my mentality all, you know, leading up to the season, is get what we need to get done, but not kill ourselves over. Because again, I hate to think this way, but we have nothing in the end. After November 25th, we don't have anything. The only way that we can land in a bowl game is if, hypothetically speaking, they allow us to because somebody backs out because something happens. You know, that's the only way that we're going to end up in a bowl game.
They still won't do that.
Exactly. They're going to find somebody else that's bowl eligible. And so I would just say, just take our time, get comfortable, enjoy it. Show them what we got to show them because, again, we want
to make a statement.
Make a statement and then ultimately build up our program because I want more 4 and 5 stars coming to our program, you know, and that's ultimately where we are leading towards. We are starting to get more of them. in different states. We're not just focusing on Northeast Alabama or Alabama in general or Georgia or Tennessee. We are starting to get more players from outside of our state that are 4 and 5 stars that we generally didn't in the past because we've right. made that jump to the FBS. Now, as far as my prediction for this season, Brandon, I think it would be better because originally we were Brandon and I were going to talk about like has our predictions changed. We really didn't make a lot of predictions about this next season. So what mm-hmm. I would say is let's go through each game and just say if it's a win or loss in your opinion. Okay. If that's cool with you. So
yeah.
Game one is and this is also as we're talking about this, we are going to talk about the latest information that came out where. If you can't make it to the games, you can always catch them on TV. And so we do have that information as well. They just popped that up. And so our first game will be on Saturday, August 26th at 4:30. It's going to be on the CBS Sports Network. And it is against UTEP. I'm going to say this is a win. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah. This is UTEP is one of those teams where you don't know if they're going to be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they start out good or start out bad, it usually goes the opposite.
Right.
So, like, this is a toss-up, but with it being our first FBS game at home in August,
we have to win this.
Southerners is like a big. Is going to be a big thing. Like, we're going to make a statement as far as Southerners is concerned. Like, we are the best FBS collegiate marching band, like, in the country, right. Point blank, period. So, like, you're going to have a ton of people show up for that because it's going to be the first performance. It's the first FBS game. It's the first Conference USA game. Like, I don't think we've ever started off the football season with a conference game, ever. So this is going to be a huge game for JSU. And because of that, I think it's going to be packed. I think it might be a win, but it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be based either on a field goal or a last minute touchdown with the defense having to hold up tight. But it's definitely going to be close. Our second game of the season will be on September 2nd at 1 p.m. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. It's going to be another home game against ETSU.
Band-Aid.
This is Band-Aid. If you are a former Southerner that wants to just watch future Southerners come in, that would be the game for you to come. I think Brandon and I said it's not that. I don't think it's that game. I think it's the there's one specific game. Yes, I think Brendan and I said that we were going to try to make that game because
these first two games we were going to try to make.
Yes, because the ninth we're definitely not going to make that game no. Because Brendan and I are even though he is all for JSU, I've convinced him to come with me to the Alabama Texas Longhorn game because why wouldn't you want to go to that game?
Yeah.
And plus it's at Bryant Denny. So anyway.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I think
did you get tickets by the way yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working on it. I have a fantastic person that's working with me to try to see if we can get some tickets. I'm still, listen, it's a slow work.
Even though I'm not an Alabama fan for football anymore, I will gladly deck myself out in crimson and white.
Roll Tide, baby, roll Tide. It is what it is. JSU will never play Alabama ever in any future because
not while Nick Saban's there.
Not while Nick Saban's there. So I'm allowed to be both fans. Anyways, I think this is a win. I think it'll be a fun day. It's gonna be hot as crap though for all those band kids. But again. It's going to be a good environment. I don't know if they will have the new athletic building completed by that point. If you haven't been.
No, their goal is to have it ready before the start of the season.
That would be great. But I do know, like, things are going to be slightly tight because didn't they already start on the construction of the stadium as far as, like, expansion goes? And so that whole, like, backside, the former home side is still very like.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I thought they've already started working on that. I don't know. I don't know.
I know they've started construction on the field house.
Yes. But I don't know.
Apparently they're ahead of schedule on that.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be tight, but I think it'll make the crowd bigger and more fun. It's just going to be hot. So make sure that you bring enough drinks for that. But I think it is a win for JSU, especially at home. We've played
ETSU. What was their record last year?
I don't know, but when we played them 3-4 years ago in the playoffs, we beat them, and it was no problem whatsoever.
It was a close game.
Oh, I thought it was easy.
We almost lost in the first round.
Oh, well, anyways, I think we'll be fine, in my opinion. After ETSU, we will be on the road for our first – away game, and this is the game that a lot of people wish was back at JSU, because I remember in 2016 we played Coastal Carolina at home, and it was the first battle of the game.
I have a story about that one.
It was the first battle. I have a story about that game against the Chanticleers. I don't know how this.
Can I tell my story real quick?
Yes, go ahead and tell your story.
Okay, so with that first matchup against Coastal, Timmy, the trombone player, that okay, so I was standing next to him, and out of nowhere, like, Coastal, I mean, it was a battle, and Coastal, I think it was at the end of the game or towards the end of the game, and Coastal was trying to take the lead and like regain momentum. This was their last season in FCS, by the way. And we only beat them by one, but there was one moment where Timmy and I literally yelled, "Break that quarterback's legs." The very next play, his leg was broken.
Yeah. Listen, we weren't, it was a fun game though, and I enjoyed it. I remember we won that game, did we not?
27-26.
Yeah, that's right. It was a very close game. Now, as far as this season goes, I think this is where I think this will be our first loss of the season.
This is a toss up for me.
Yeah. It for me, I'm going to go ahead and say it is probably going to be an L. Coastal Carolina's looked pretty consistent the last couple of years. So I think this is where it's a loss for us. It's a 6 p.m. game in Coastal Carolina. So I don't see it. Yeah. I just don't see it. And you can catch the game on ESPN Plus. I just don't see us winning this.
Yeah, I'll say it's an L, but I think JSU is going to play them real close. Just now, because of our history with them.
Now, after Coastal Carolina, we will come back home on September 23rd. We will have the game at 4 p.m. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is homecoming.
Yes, this is the earliest homecoming we've ever had.
It is the earliest homecoming, but it is against Eastern Michigan. A fantastic matchup against Eastern Michigan.
That's going to be a fun game.
It is definitely going to be a fun game. I'm going to say that this is also a toss-up, but I think JSU will pull out the win with a field goal. You think it's going to be, you think we're going to lose it?
No.
You think we're going to win?
Yeah. If you'll let me explain.
Okay.
I think it's going to be back and forth all the way till the third quarter. And I think this is going to be a lot like Eastern Washington as far as like the physicality of the other team. I think Eastern Michigan is going to get worn down enough to where they're going to start making mistakes later in the game, and I think JSU will, this will be a two possession win for JSU.
Okay. Well, I think it'll be a good I think it'll be a great homecoming to be a part of. I think we'll see more.
Please don't lose our first homecoming at FBS. Please don't.
I don't know whether or not it'll be like packed, just because it is Eastern Michigan, which means that you may have, you know, your diehard fans that do come down to the game, but I don't know.
But it's also homecoming.
It is also homecoming. Now, after Eastern Michigan, we will travel again to the good old state of Texas, where we will play Sam Houston at
the Gravy Bowl.
The Gravy Bowl on a Thursday night at 7 p.m. It is on Thursday, the 28th at 7 p.m. You can catch it on ESPNU. I hope we win, but I can't say that we will.
No, this will be a win.
You think so?
This will be a win.
I hope so. I if it is, I'll tell you this. If it's a win, it's a win by brutal knockout. Like it's not going to be a close game. Like, we'll win because, like, we win. Either we lose because we lose or we win because we won. That's my mentality. So we got, let's see. So we got win, win, loss, win, win. So we're only up to one loss right now.
Win, win, Coastal loss.
Win against Eastern Michigan.
So we're at 3-1.
Yeah.
You said win against Sam Houston.
Yeah, I'll say it's a win.
Okay, so we're at 4-1 right now.
Okay. After Sam Houston, we will travel again on Wednesday of all days. We're going to be playing Wednesday on the 4th at Middle Tennessee at 7 p.m.
The Brawl again. Of the South.
Yes.
That's what I'm calling it.
It is our closest home rivalry at this point right now until Kennesaw State, you know, finalizes things and makes it to Conference USA themselves, which I think most JSU fans are excited for because who better to not beat the crap out of than the, you know, the Owls.
The Dirty Birds.
I think this is going to be, I don't know. Middle Tennessee.
And Southerners are traveling to this one.
Yes, the Southerners are traveling. Again, why is it on Wednesday? I don't know.
TV contract.
Yeah, I know. But it just kind of sucks because this part of the other reason why I hate Conference USA because a lot of their games landed on random days. But I think JSU slips up on this one. I just... We can't be perfect. I think this is the game that we slip up on. I think we end up losing this game. Probably, I think we'll keep it close up until the fourth quarter and then fumble, something like that's going to end up happening. We just lose it.
I think this might be a last second field goal win for MTSU.
Yes, that could also happen. Now, after that, on Tuesday the 10th, we have our next home game against Liberty at 6:30. It's also going to be on ESPNU. This is going to be a fun game. This is why I would really want
a middle school teaching job just so I can go to this game.
See, I and the next game. To make this game. But I'm probably not going to make it to this game. So I'm going to have to catch on ESPNU. I just got my own account for ESPN Plus. So
look at you go.
I know I'm making strides and waves in my life. But anyways, this is going to be a fun game. JSU is really going to have, I think there's going to be a lot of people. It's in the middle of the week, so people aren't going home for the weekends. So I think we will have a lot of people there.
We'll have a lot of students there, I think.
Yes. I just don't know how it will end.
I want to say that we will win, but you have to look at how Liberty has been the past couple of seasons.
I know. I think it's going to end up being a loss. I think this will put us at 4-3 after that game. I think yes. Liberty will probably give us – now, again, all this could change starting the season. I mean, depending on how we look. But I think
– Well, I Liberty, will say yeah. that – I will say this. This game and the next game, we're not going to lose both of them, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
We will win one of them.
Yes.
And so – So for that reason, I'm going to say.
I think you're glitching in and out, Brandon. I think we may have lost Brandon. Well, as he is trying to get back in, we will go ahead and talk about the rest of the season until he gets back. So after Liberty, so right now we're at 4-3 after the Liberty game. On that following Tuesday, we play at home again against Western Kentucky at 6:30. I'm going to go ahead and say that this is a win for JSU. I think it'll be a close win. I think it'll be by at least one possession, maybe two. But it will be a game played throughout. And so I think this is how it's going to end up playing out ultimately. Now, after West Kentucky, okay, we will travel again to play Florida International on Wednesday, October 25th at 6 p.m. You can catch the game on CBS Sports Network. Again, this could be a toss-up. I think this puts us at 5-3 before that game. It's 5-3. I think Florida International should be an easy win. So I'm going to say that because we have played them in the past and we did beat them in the past, if I remember correctly. So I think this puts us at 6-3. And then it leads up to the most important game that a lot of JSU fans are super excited for, which is South Carolina. And it is in Brandon, if you've, look at that. Brandon's back. Brandon, we just talked about the Western Kentucky and the Florida International.
FIU is a win. And like I said, Liberty, we're not going to win both Liberty or Western Kentucky. We will win one of those and lose one of those. So that's going to put us at 6-3.
Yes, so we're 6-3. Now, again, this all leads up to November when we have to play on a Saturday at which they have not announced that time yet, which I'm assuming that time will come out soon just because they are kind of finalizing on those details right now. I'm going to assume that this game's probably going to be a noon game, 11 o'clock game. We are going to be in South Carolina.
Wait, 11 o'clock Eastern or Central?
I think it's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern. Or it's so probably going to be a Central. New game. It's probably
okay.
Going to be a new
okay,
game.
Gotcha. And I think this game is going to be on ESPN or it's going to be on the SEC network.
It's on all ESPN platforms is what it's saying right now.
Well, that's because they haven't made a decision yet.
Exactly. But it's probably going to be
which on is why SEC. I'm saying it's going to be on the SEC network yes. Because that is an ESPN platform.
Yes. Now, Brandon and I are wholeheartedly trying and attempting to be at that game.
Yes.
Because for any of you that don't know, I'm a wrestling coach. And if you don't know anything about wrestling season kicks off literally the following weekend. Tournaments and competition begins that following weekend. And so
that's the tail end of marching band for me.
Exactly. And so this will be like the last like chance I get to actually like go to a football game really. And so I'm hoping I get to go. Brandon and I have already talked about it. If we can, we're going to leave Friday evening or Friday some point, drive up to South Carolina, stay the night, go to the game, and then probably come back either that night or Sunday. If we do go to the game, Brandon and I are still working on it, but if we go to the game, Brandon and I have talked about going live for this game to talk to JSU fans, because I've heard a lot of JSU fans are going to go to this because it is Battle of the Cocks, Battle of the Coop, Battle of the, whose cock is better. I mean, you've heard all the statements. I mean, I can't wait until Get Personalized gets their hands on some of these posters. Brandon and I are working to come to this game. As of right now, if we look at the schedule from last season with South Carolina, JSU will not win this game. I think South Carolina's got too much on them. I think South Carolina's going to end up pulling the W out of this. Now, all of this could change in the next few over the next few days or the next few weeks when season kicks off. South Carolina could just not be good. And we could pull off the upset if we.
But even then, you can't really tell if a team is going to beat a bad SEC team.
Exactly,
like a group of five team is if a group of five team is going to beat a bad SEC team.
I mean, nobody thought that we were going to beat Ole Miss back in 2010. Nobody thought that we were going to beat Florida State, 2 years ago. It's still up in the air. We don't know. So, as of right now, I will just say that South Carolina is probably going to get the dub on us, and it is okay. Yeah. But I think the atmosphere for this game is going to be absolutely hilarious. So that's what I'm excited for. Now, to finish up our season, we got two more games. So that puts us at 6-4. After Florida International, South Carolina, we do have one last home game. That'll be Southerners Union on the 18th at 1 p.m. It's going to be against Louisiana Tech.
Dub.
It's a dub. It'll be easy dub. I think. I think it'll be a fun day for Southerners. Hopefully, it stays cool but not cold, because you're in that mid area of like November where anything is possible. Yeah. And then lastly, we will travel to the good old state of New Mexico, where we will play New Mexico State at 3 o'clock on Saturday the 25th, right after Thanksgiving.
Dub.
And it'll be a win. So I think ultimately our final like count, it'll be an 8-4 winning season, which overall is not a bad start to our season.
I think the best that we can finish is probably 9-3, and the worst that we can finish is 6-6.
Yeah. But again, I don't think it's bad. I think if we can stay consistent, show them what we need to get done, I think we will be all right. But again, it is very early. It's still very, very early, but I do believe in our team. I think that we have the means to get it done. We just have to wait and see. Now, last thing before we talk about a couple like non-JSU things that Brandon and I were interested in talking about, I did want to offer one last condolences. If you don't remember, in the state of Alabama, we unfortunately suffered several losses in the midst of at least one weekend. Especially down south in Dadeville, Alabama, there was a JSU commit. His name was Filstavius Dowdle. Mm-hmm. And I do apologize if I mispronounced his name. But Filstavius was committing to JSU. He was going to come play in the fall. And unfortunately, he lost his life to a shooting. And so I did want to offer my condolences to his family and to JSU. I know that he would have been a great he would have been great for our team, and I wish him and his family all the blessings that I can. And, hopefully we learn from these experiences and to make the right calls when it comes to making legislation and approaching that stuff. I'm not hopping into politics here. We have as a teacher and as Brandon as well, we have to look and protect our kids. But as far as non-JSU sports talks go, as you probably know, we are about to kick off both the College World Series for the men as well as the Women's College World Series for softball. I'm excited this season. Alabama is hosting, I think, both for softball and baseball, if I remember correctly.
They did. Softball they did, and baseball they are.
Yes. And so I'm excited because, as not just an Alabama fan, but as a Alabama state, like just for the state of Alabama, I like that we get the opportunity to host because we generally don't in the past. But like if you saw like as somebody that lives in Birmingham or in the Birmingham region, when March Madness came through and we hosted one of the regionals, like the environment in the city of Birmingham and in the state.
Oh, it was electric. It was electric.
It was amazing to have all these people from different places come in and come support this because, anytime people think of Alabama, it's always negative things. Like, if we're being completely honest, it's not always great things. And so just having the opportunity to host these types of things allow us to open the world to more than just what they see on TV. Like, yes, Alabama fans are Alabama and Auburn fans are very obnoxious sometimes, but we're more than just that. And so I'm excited that we're able to host.
Y'all these. Are not me.
But again, I'm excited for this. I don't know how the College World Series will end for both the boys and for the girls, for baseball and softball. I'm just going to be when it comes to the College World Series, like if JSU or Alabama makes it, like I'll pay attention a little bit more specifically to them, just because like I'm going to support my state. But generally speaking, I take the same approach that I do with March Madness, and that is I'm just going to find myself at a sports bar and enjoy the games. Like, I just enjoy that atmosphere and that environment. So it's still too close to call. Hopefully Alabama does really good in both baseball and in softball. I don't know how we'll do in baseball specifically because, you know, Vandy. But hey, it is what it is.
Well, they won't have to worry about Vandy until possibly Omaha. Yeah. But even then, like, they got to get through Wake Forest in the Supers if they make it that far.
So it's still early. But again, catch those games, support ESPN, support sports in general, and just watch the games, enjoy yourself, find a place to watch them, find a sports bar, go to Buffalo Wild Wings, go to Bomb Hour, something like that.
Bama plays tomorrow at, is it 11 Central or 12 Central?
I think it's 11 Central. I actually don't know.
I don't either. But they're the first game of the Women's College World Series tomorrow.
Yes.
And they play Tennessee. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
The only downside for Alabama when it comes to softball, and everybody talks about it, like Montana Fouts is an amazing pitcher.
She is a beast.
But everybody knows how she pitches. That's the only downside, is that she doesn't have anything that –
teams can't execute.
Exactly. So I've been saying this for a while, that if you can't hit off of Montana Fouts at this point, like, you just suck. So I mean, that's just ultimately what it comes down to, because at this point, like, you should already be able to, like, no offense, Montana, I doubt she's listening to this, but you know, if you can't hit off of her because you've been paying attention to her pitches, because she doesn't really change up that much. She's just a really good pitcher. That's on you.
She's very strategic.
Yeah, she is very strategic. So, you know, again, wish you the best of luck. Let's bring a state title home.
That'd be awesome. First one since 2012.
Yeah. Now, as far as playoffs go for football, for the fall season, and Brandon and I like to talk about football playoffs. We like to call it our way
not
too early.
FCS this time.
I know. It is our quote way too early playoff thoughts. As much as I love Alabama football, I think we're not gonna make it again this year.
I don't think Bama is either.
I think it's going to end up being Ohio State. I don't even think Clemson's going to be a contender. I think it's going to be Ohio State. I think it's going to be Georgia again. If Alabama gets in, it'll be – again, things could change between now and the start of the season. I mean, who knows? But I think it'll be Ohio State, Georgia, and then I don't know the other two. Michigan, possibly. I think Michigan's probably going to beat out Ohio State, if I'm being completely honest. I think it's going to be Michigan, Georgia, and then up for grabs the other two teams. But again, it's still too close to call.
I got to pull up the preseason top 25.
Okay. While Brandon's doing that, just a couple of things that we want to throw out to you guys. If you are, uh, if you, as you know, Brandon and I were both Southerners back at Jacksonville State. And so we like to talk about the Southerners. We like talking about band. We have a background in music. And so if you have not already been looking, if you are a DCI fan, DCI is kicking off soon. And so
what is Drum Corps International, Cody? For our viewers that don't know what DCI is.
Okay, so Drum Corps International is it's basically your off-season marching that you can participate in during the summertime, where different programs will face off against each other from different parts of the countries, and they all go to like different shows. People come to watch them. It's a lot of fun, and then they all go to Indianapolis for the finals for DCI in August. There are several different DCI groups. You have your world class. In the world class, you have the Academy, and their show is Sol de Luna. The Blue Devils, you have the Cutouts, is the name of their show. They have a lot of different musics, adaptations that are going to be added to their program. The Blue Knights, their show is titled Unharnessed. And the Blue Stars, their show is called In Absentia.
I looked through the entire list. So quickly, I think your playoffs are going to be my way too early prediction. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be LSU, Texas, Michigan. Jesus
is the fourth contender, y'all.
No. This page reloaded on me.
It's okay. We don't have to get into that just yet. I think Georgia will still be a contender. So I think it'll be Georgia, LSU, Texas, and
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm going to say Florida State.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that Florida State's on the rise again. So, which, you know, they better, because after that unnerving loss against JSU.
My four are LSU, Texas, Michigan, Florida State.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But anyways, so back to our DCI shows. The Boston Crusaders, they are marching a show called White Whale, which is based on Moby Dick. The Cadets, their show is called Atlas Rising. I'm kind of excited for the Cadets. I've always been a slight Cadet fan. I'm excited. My favorite show I'm super excited for. They're my favorite DCI group, which is Carolina Crown.
You too?
Well, them and the Bluecoats. Them, Bluecoats, and Cavaliers are my favorites. But Carolina Crowns, their show is called The Round Table, Echoes of Camelot. I'm super excited for this one.
It's going to be so good.
Yes, they are marching Mozart. So, you know, bringing in the classics. The Cavaliers.
Hey, we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We've marched Mozart.
Yes. The Cavaliers, their show is titled Where You'll Find Me. I'm super excited for this one. The Colts, they're marching Where the Heart Is. They have music from Pink Floyd, Motley Crue, Mason Williams. So I'm excited for that. Genesis, they will be marching a show called Symbiosis. It's supposed to be really kind of funky is what I've been told. Jersey Surf is their show is called Express Yourself, based on what
if they do like. Not do my Madonna.
it does look to be like a heavy 80s type show. I'm interested to see how that's going to go. Madison Scouts, their show is called The Sound Garden. They have music like Black Hole Sun, Rusty Cage by Chris Cornell, 23 Degrees North, 82 Degrees West by Bill Russo and Sam Kenton. That should be an interesting show. The Mandarins, they will be marching a show called Centerman, or Centerman, sorry, if I'm being more specific. Music City, which is located in Tennessee, is one of our closer ones. Their show is titled Violent Delights, A Rose and Its Thorns. So it's a rose blooms with beauty and grace. Its thorns are a reminder of life's embrace for it. In its death, its beauty is gone, but its thorns remain a legacy strong. My other favorite group that I love just kind of keeping an eye on is Phantom Regiment. Their show is titled Exogenesis.
My guilty pleasure.
I think this is also a guilty pleasure for me. So I'm interested to see how this is going to go for them. Seattle Cascades, their show is titled Revival. Spirit of Atlanta is making the comeback this year. A lot around the program. Yes, Brandon marched with Spirit 1 year. And so they're making their comeback this year, Up, Down, and All Around, which is, if we're being completely honest, a really good title for their show, given the circumstances of their past. And we're not going to get into that. If you know, you know. The Troopers, their show.
So excited for this one.
Yes, the Troopers are making waves. They have over the last couple of years. Their show title is To Lasso the Sun. It's based on what we can understand. It's going to be a lot of Western. And then in our open class,
we don't have to do all of these.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. I think the only other one that I was going to mention, which I think they're in open class, which is Southwind, yes, which is located in Alabama. Their title is called Cowboys of the Sky. And so, again, if you are a music fan, definitely, like, if you're not, like, super invested, you know, try to watch some YouTube videos on DCI. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. You know, a lot of people say, is band a sport? Yes, it is.
By definition,
band is a sport. Now, that does not mean that every band is a athletic-type band, because... Mm-hmm. Like, there is a distinct difference between Auburn's marching band versus JSU's marching band. You know, JSU's performing shows for exhibition.
Even between Auburn and Alabama, because Alabama's closer to JSU than Auburn is. Yeah.
Again, Brandon, I highly recommend, you know, just listening to these shows if you're interested in that material. Also, as you go to these games for JSU, we highly recommend you stopping and watching either our halftime, but most of the time we're going to say, hey, just wait and hold on and watch our post-game shows for JSU, because that's when the Southerners will perform their full shows, which we are super excited for this next year, because it is Dr. Botiford's 30th year as the director of bands for Jacksonville State. And so the show is incorporated from shows from music from all the last course of 30 years. So each song is from a different show from the last several years. I think there's one as early as 2017, 2018,
nope. 2019. Nope. As early?
Like, as last time we played it was like 2019. 18. So we'll have some music from 2018 to as far back to 1994, if I remember correctly. 95. So again,
the same piece.
It's going to be a very, very fun show. Brandon and I are really excited. We are both supporters of sports and arts. I think there is a good mix that you have to have in our society. You can't just focus on one or the other. So we do recommend paying attention to the Southerners as their show continues to bloom. Go follow the Southerners on Facebook and on and all the social media,
Instagram,
accounts.
Twitter, YouTube, yes. Like all of it.
Because their schedule has just come out where they're going to be at. I don't think they've announced it's not this year, it's next year that JSU will be traveling to France for the 80th. Is it the 80th anniversary of D-Day?
The invasion of Normandy. Like,
yeah, I think it's.
The I just 80th know it's for D-Day.
Yes, it is for D-Day. They will be playing in Normandy, France. So, Brandon, do you have any last closing remarks?
Just I'm ready for this off season. because this is the start of marching band. This is my time. And I'm ready for Southerners, honestly. Did you see one of the exhibitions for Southerners?
I'm not.
JSU's hosting the Alabama State Marching
Championship. Oh, yeah. I did see that.
And I think it's like all of the classes from 1A all the way up to 7A. So all of the bands are going to be at JSU.
And I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. Well, with that being said, we've been going for an hour and 15 minutes. And though we love you guys, we know that at some point you guys are going to get tired of us. So we just want to thank you guys for holding out. Again, we do apologize that we've taken that hiatus, but we promise we are going to start being more consistent this year to just be able to have the time with you guys. We want to thank you guys for listening. And of course, if you're not following us on all of our social media platforms, what are you doing with your life? Follow us at @cocky_nation or on Facebook, it's Cocky Nation JSU Podcast. And of course, if you don't know, even though we are making the transition to the FBS, we are still holding close ties to all of our FCS family because we would not be able to do this podcast without them. So we want to give a shout out to the Fans Nation Network on Twitter. And then listening to their podcasts because we mentioned other teams like Florida Gulf Coast or FAMU or Kennesaw State, all these other FCS teams. We highly recommend going to listen to their podcast because they're going to talk about their sport specifically. So any of the teams that maybe we had mentioned, like Central Arkansas or other teams that are still in the FCS, they have a podcast. Go listen to them. Go talk to them. Ask them questions. Get their thought process. Make them angry if you want to. It is what it is. But again, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for, another great season, season four. Be on the lookout. We're going to have a new transition on season five. And so we love you.
One last thing before he closes out.
Yeah.
Most of y'all know that I am on another podcast. Last season, it was called Wax Unweekly. Be on the lookout for a name change because the Wax Sun Conference, as we called it, has officially changed its name to the United Athletic Conference. So be on the lookout for a name change and continue to tune in to that podcast this season, this upcoming season.
Well, guys, again, we thank you. And of course, as always, it is Go Gamecocks and fear the beak.